Luke chapter 2, in verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they had spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. Verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. All of this whole thing, this whole story, this whole season had been based on the coming of God's Son, the birth of this baby. You know, the everything from, you know, the prophecy in the Old Testament, and then the angel shows up and tells Mary that she's going to have Jesus, and then, you know, Mary and Joseph make the trip, this big old huge long trip, and they get there, and there's no room in the inn, so then they have to go out into this stable, which was actually kind of like a cave, if you kind of look at it, you know, historically. And so, you know, here's this, and, you know, the picture we see is the nativity scene, you know, with all the animals, you know, and all this stuff, and then, you know, and then here come the shepherds and the wise men, and, you know, and all, it's just, you know, this is the story that we see, and then we're kind of left with this vision of here's Mary, and here's Joseph, and here's this manger, and here's this baby in this manger, and it's just such an awesome story, and, you know, this is such an awesome thing. But the shepherds returned. See, there came a point in time where the manger was put away. You know, this story is just all, you know, wow, huge, big, and then the manger's kind of set aside. And baby Jesus isn't laying in that manger anymore in that picture that I see, and it kind of gets to a new place and a new part. Well, this morning, Christmas has gone, and the hustle and bustle that we have all experienced for the past 25 days, and actually really longer than that, because it seems like they continue to push the start of this hustle and bustle back continually. I mean, now technically people will tell you that it starts now on Thanksgiving Day, but no offense to Walmart workers, but I think it starts somewhere in July. You know, you'll start seeing little tidbits, you know, and it's just, you know, but in all seriousness, you know, we continue to back this thing up, and it's just like, oh, you know, where does it start? Kind of where does it end? And it's crazy, and all this, you know, shopping and cooking and making candy and wrapping presents and getting everything ready and as perfect as possible for those few moments of unwrapping and eating. Now, I really enjoy the eating part. In fact, this year, I have, if it was a class, A plus, baby. I started early, and I have kept I've just kept it right on going. I've just enjoyed it. And, you know, but I mean, it's just so much fun. But you wake up on December the 26th, or whenever your day, that last day of celebration is, but that next day after that, and a lot of times we just kind of are sitting there with this, now what? Now what? You know, because I said earlier, you know, you add fatigue in there, which we're all tired. You know, mentally, physically, even spiritually sometimes. You know, we're just, and it's just, you just, and it's this deer in this headlight, and you're like, now what? Man, I have just invested everything in these past few days. And, you know, and Christmas season as our church has been crazy as well. We've had set changes, and, you know, we've learned new songs, and you know, we've taught our kids new songs, and they come up here, and, you know, and just blessed our socks off, you know, and it was just awesome, and, you know, building lights, and the time that was spent back in that, you know, that's something, too. I think a lot of people maybe, you know, and I just want to, and the work that goes on in that little box is just phenomenal, hours every week. And it's just, you know, but it's just part of that busyness, you know, and planning the programs. And, of course, there was Project 125, you know, in 25 days of impacting lives by sharing Jesus in very creative ways, which, by the way, You know, we did, and you know, so you know, it's been great. It's been all about giving, and why not do this, right? You know, why not just invest all this time? Because that's what this season is about. And we've spent that 25-day period or so, you know, based upon, you know, the verse in Acts, the words of Jesus that says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And you know, it's just kind of a seasonal thing, and you know, for a lot of people, and it fit, and it worked, and so here we did. And honestly, we did really great with this. You know, this whole thing, this whole push, you know, impacting one life a day, man, Archer, I thought we did amazing. I've heard stories, personal stories, you know, of those impacts that have been made, and you know, keeping your heart and your eyes open to those opportunities. And I could share them. I could spend the whole morning sharing them. But it was great. And you know, they were simple things. Simple things that people, you know, took the time to say hi to somebody or clean off somebody's car or you know, go visit somebody or you know, a letter or a note or just some, I mean, anything just so simple that made somebody smile. And our church, I thought, really as a whole, really did a really good job this year too as well. You know, we had the duffel bag project. It was absolutely phenomenal. Amazing the way people invested their heart and their time into blessing these kids and these families. It was, you know, I mean, it was wonderful. The feeding of the inmates and you know, all of our people up at the sheriff's office, man, it was fun. And the smiles and listen, they genuinely appreciated it. I mean, I stood in a hallway with them that night. And it was, man, there was nothing fake or phony about their thank yous or their smiles. You know, can I just get on a soapbox for just a second? Okay, I'm on it. Sometimes it's really easy to push people aside that we think deserve to be there. But in all honesty, God loves everybody. Now, people make mistakes, and there's consequences for those mistakes. There's no question. But being behind some bars, that doesn't mean that they don't deserve to be loved. And so I would challenge you to really take a moment each day, at least each week, and just say a simple prayer. Just a simple prayer. It matters. I promise you that it matters. And I'll prove it to you here in just a couple of months. In just a couple months. Because I believe that some of those that I spoke with personally will hold true to their promise and they'll walk through those doors. And we will embrace them. And we will love them. And we will invest in them just like you invest in me and I invest in you. I'm off my soapbox. We helped the family with Christmas this year, and which was really fun, by the way. Our church was able to get involved with this, and we've done this in the past, but, you know, there's just some times that I don't know, it's just you kind of feel things are right. You know that? I haven't tried this, and this isn't a pat me on the back thing. It's just, I'm going to share, give all the glory to God. This is not for me. You're not looking at me doing this. But as a family, we decided to do this year. And can I tell you, when I drove away from that family, it was one of the most amazing feelings. And you know why it was amazing? Number one, because I feel like that several of us invested Jesus into their life. But number two, the lessons that were taught, you know, you know, one statement that was made by one of them, man, it's nice to see people still genuinely care, and that means something. It's also really cool when you see your little kids, that a lot of times, you know, little kids are focused, and come on, it's Christmas, internal, what the presents I get, you know, but for them to invest in that, to shop for it, to be excited for it, it's life-changing. It's life-changing. Keeping eyes open, hearts open to those opportunities is just amazing. And you know, this whole season, honestly, has been fun. We, you know, even in the tough times, maybe some of you went through some tough thoughts and some tough feelings, some tough situations, but there's been something through this season that's, if, at the very least, made you crack a smile. Some time with the family, or I mean, it could be anything, but it should be that way. But Christmas is over, so now what? I want to look at a few things this morning that people do after Christmas. And I would say that every one of us in this building will relate to at least one of these, because this is pretty much what happens. Some people immediately take the tree down, all the decorations, and I'm talking at 12:01 a.m. on December the 26th. They stay up late, drink the rest of their eggnog, and all the decorations are gone. They box them up, they put them in storage, never to be experienced again until the season rolls around next year. On that specific day, and that specific day is every year, this is the day we put them up, and this is the time we take them down. There's probably some of you. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Some people leave the decorations out for a couple weeks. Okay? They still look good, and honestly, maybe they aren't tired of experiencing Christmas yet. So what's a few more weeks going to hurt? My tree is still up. And it's just because I haven't had the time to take it down. Number three, some people take down all the decorations inside. The tree's down, all the little knickknacks and the nativity scene, all that stuff's gone, put it up, you walk inside, look. But on the outside, it's still Clark W. Griswold all over the house. The lights are up. Now, you never turn them on, but it's a whole lot easier to leave them up than to take them down and put them back up the next year. So the inside kind of, you know, it's back to normal, but the outside still has this appearance that, you know, the Christmas, man, this guy's got Christmas cheer, right? And then there are a few people who began preparing immediately for Christmas next year. I mean, you know, you think that the Black Friday sales are good, you should try the December 26th through the 28th sales. They're pretty good too. And a lot of people take advantage of that. I'm serious. For sure, buying the wrapping paper and the bows and the scotch tape that's all just completely on sale. But there are people that actually buy Christmas presents for the next Christmas on the day after Christmas. And all through the year, if they're in a store and they see a deal, boom, it is bought. And they know who it's bought for. And I mean, they're shopping. They got this Christmas thing going on all the time. And that may be some of you in here this morning. The Christmas season is a great time, and honestly, a season when people usually focus on giving. Okay? But just because the season ends, just because the decorations come down, and just because Walmart puts Valentine's Day stuff out, doesn't mean the reason for this season should end. Let's look at this from a Christian perspective. Some people, as soon as Christmas is over, we get rid of all the Christmas cheer. We lose the "it's better to give than to receive" mentality and immediately jump right back into everyday life. 25 days is enough to be focused on sharing and giving each year. The second thing, some people will keep this thing up for a while. Some people will say, you know what, that's pretty cool, and I really enjoyed that, and you know, and I think I'll keep this going for just a little bit. And they'll keep looking for those opportunities to continue sharing and to continue giving, and whether it's because it just feels right or maybe they don't want to look like the people in group number one that I just explained. They keep the Christmas thing going for a few weeks, but then it just kind of fades away. It just kind of, you know, it's good, but it just kind of fades away, like most people who join the gym at the first of the year. Just being honest, I'm not being necessarily critical. That's just a proven fact. January is the number one month for gym memberships each year. And then it just goes, phew. Number three, some people will leave the outward appearance there. I mean, it looks like they got this giving and sharing thing going on, but really on the inside, it's all boxed up, it's all put away, and it's just the lights on the outside that never get turned on. And then the fourth one, of course, is that person that never stops looking for an opportunity. It doesn't matter if it's December the 25th or July the 25th. Constantly, eyes and heart open for those amazing opportunities to let God work through them to be a blessing to somebody else. I mean, it never ends. Never. All the time. The message of Christ, and this is something that's really cool. God really, on Thursday morning, I was in here and I was doing some last minute studying for this, and God kind of changes things sometimes, and he did this week. And because I was reading this story again right there, and I just go back to it really quick, in that verse 20, the shepherds returned. They didn't stay there, okay, that season had occurred, but then their life continued. And they returned, glorified and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Listen, the Christmas season, the message of Christ did not end in that manger. It didn't end there. The manger was gone. And the shepherds went back to their fields, and the wise men went back to being wise, and the animals were gone, but the message of Jesus was not over. It was only beginning. It was only starting. This was only the start of this thing. So Christmas should not be an end of the year event. It should be the beginning. Because listen, Jesus is what started it all. Anyways, this birth of this baby began this whole journey that we read about and that we live out in our lives today. Because if you look at this, the baby was born, and then he, you know, as he grew up, and the next kind of you see, he gets older, and he's about 12, and he's in the temple, and he's amazing, these religious teachers, at his knowledge and his wisdom, you know, of God's word and the things that are there. And then you see John the Baptist, you know, he's back on the scene, and he is, you know, going out, and he is proclaiming, you know, the word of the Lord, and he is baptizing people. In fact, he baptized Jesus, and then not too close. You know, long after that, he turns the water into wine, and then it absolutely explodes from there. And it all began back in this manger. But it kept on, and you guys, I mean, a lot of these stories, I mean, Jesus just kept doing his thing, and it was just amazing. And then we get to this, and this is just a little side note that I'll probably hit on here in a couple of weeks. Because a lot of times we get to the end, this is the end of the year, right? It's the calendar year, and so Christmas is the end of the year experience. It kind of finishes things off just a little bit, and I'm just being honest, that's kind of the mentality that we as Christians sometimes take on with this whole aspect of it is more blessed to give than receive. It's kind of like if you look at the Christ, it began, okay, with his birth, and he lived his life, and you get, and it's like it ends here with his. And as awesome as the resurrection is, it doesn't end there. That was just the beginning of something else. And we're going to look at that in the next few weeks and kind of where it goes from that particular point. But Christmas, listen, you may put the nativity scene away, but you don't have to put the reason for this season away. Nobody does. We can live this thing out all the time. It's not an ending event at all. It's the beginning of a new season of giving. It's not over when the baby's born. I want to read a verse to you this morning. Actually, it's a verse and a half in the book of Galatians. And it's in chapter 6, and it's verse 9 and the first part of verse 10, and it says this: let us not become weary in doing good. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Now, that first part, let us not grow weary in doing good. The New American Standard Bible says it like this: let us not lose heart in doing good. Let us not lose heart in doing the things that God desires for us to do. Let us not lose heart in sharing this message. Let us not lose heart in looking for opportunities to share this message. Let us not lose heart. Don't stop sharing Jesus. Don't stop giving. Don't stop living out this message, because it does not end at the manger. This message did not end on December the 25th. It is still going, and it still should be going strong. And if you don't give up, the Bible says that you will see life change. But he puts it, you'll reap a harvest. You're going to see life change. You personally will see lives change. This church will see lives changed. The other churches in our community that have this same heart and the same desire will see life change if you don't give up. Now, sometimes in life, as I said earlier and Christina said earlier, you got to rest. You got to be recharged. Listen, if you don't, I don't care if it's physically, mentally, or spiritually, you will crash. You'll crash. Your body will make sure that it shuts down and gets what it needs. And that typically isn't healthy when that happens. So you take this time, you spend, well, now what? Well, you know what? If you're tired, take a few days and rest your body, but don't rest your heart and don't rest your eyes of opportunity and don't give up. Because this is a lot of times where a lot of people will just kind of sit back and we rest too much. And then we get out of this habit, and then what was a big part of our life now becomes non-existent in our life, and then those opportunities that would be laying right out there for us, we're going to miss. If you don't give up, you will see communities impacted. This community, I promise. It's a guarantee if you do not give up. If you don't give up, you will see family members accept Christ. I believe that. I've seen people who have prayed for their family members for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And you know what? Sometimes just be honest, sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's heartbreaking. And you're like, God, I'm praying. What do I got to do? And you know what? I don't understand God's timing. I don't understand people's timing. I mean, I don't, not trying to whatever, but listen, you don't give up. If there's something inside of your heart, if there's something that maybe is, you know, disarray in this or that part of your life, and you know, a lot of times that we allow that frustration, you know, to get a hold of us, and we just give up. You know, we'll give up on a family member, we'll give up on a situation in our life, we'll give up on this, or we'll give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because if you don't give up and you continue to do the things that God wants you to do, living the way that God wants you to live, you will see life change. If you don't give up, you'll see your friends walk through those doors. I guarantee it. If you don't give up, you'll see them walk through those doors. I promise. And as you have opportunity, the Bible says in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, you know what? To have opportunity, you have to be looking for opportunity. To have opportunity, you must be first looking for that opportunity. Because if you're not looking for that opportunity, you'll never see that opportunity. And if you don't see it, you'll never have it. It's kind of the cycle. It's not about December 1st to December 25th. This is about constantly in our life, every day, looking for the opportunities to do good to all. Everybody say all. That is such a big three-letter word. You know, God uses that word a lot. In fact, it's the biggest part of the commandments, the greatest commandments that he gives us. The Bible says to love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. And the second one's just like it says, you're to love other people in the same way. All is a big word. So you don't stop looking for opportunities to do good to all people. Excuse me. Listen, we had a great year in this church. I look back and I spend usually the month of December. That's kind of my time to go through and I close out, you know, everything from, you know, the last year and then, be, you know, look, you know, kind of at numbers and these different things. And you know, God has always blessed us here at CPC, and this year was no different. You know, we had several people, if I can remember right, and I don't have my papers in front of me, but I think it was 138 people made a decision of some kind towards their relationship for Jesus that I know of in 2013. That's a big deal. We had several people baptized in 2013. That's a big deal. You know, we've had new people serving and stepping into areas. And you know, we're adding people to the tech booth. You know, we've added a few over the past few weeks and, you know, added people here and here and here and here. You know, that's exciting to me because that means people are growing in their relationship with God. But it doesn't end here. You know, we've had new people giving. Some of you have began this journey of giving this year. Never given before in a church, you know, and it's just like it's been tough. But you have stepped out in faith and you have made the commitment and the decision to give the way that God has asked you to give. Don't think for a second that's big. It's a great beginning. This was kind of astounding to me, and I had to check a couple of things, but this was really cool. I like this. This is, you know what, this is me. This is me standing up here saying just exactly how big God is. In 2013, in this past year, through our services on the internet, through our website, through Vimeo, and through Facebook, we have had over 65,000 people. 65,000 people from this little church view at least part of, if not all of, services that are attended right here. In 54 countries. That's amazing to me. Don't ever think for a second that the things that you do here in little old Ava, Missouri, cannot impact other people. Not only in this community, but in communities all over this world. But it does not end in that manger. The spirit of sharing and spirit of giving has got to go on. Project 125 has officially become Project 365. It is an everyday thing. It is an every moment thing. Heart open, eyes open, lives open to taking advantage of every opportunity we have to do good to all people. So now what? I'm going to tell you, now what? This is what I believe, now what? We keep going. We keep sharing. We keep giving. We keep impacting lives. We keep reaching into this community. We keep reaching into our families. We keep reaching into the relationships and the friendships that we have. We keep sharing this life-changing message and believing God will change lives because of it. In Deuteronomy 15:10, and this will be a verse that you hear again over the next few weeks, give generously, and that is a big word, to them. And do so without a grudging heart. You know, it means something too when you think about this, you know, because don't get caught up. Well, I'm giving because Pastor Ron said to give. Can't be that way. Well, I'm giving, but I sure don't want to. Man, I'm doing this, but boy, I'd rather be doing that. It's got to be pure. It's got to be clean. It's got to be with the right motives, not with a grudging heart. Then because of this. Now, this is a do this, then this will happen. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything that you put your hand to. Now, that's big. When I serve like he wants, when I pray like he wants, when I worship like he wants, when I give like he wants, when I sacrifice in my life like he wants, when I open my heart and my eyes to the opportunities to share Jesus in this community like he wants, doing good to all, everybody say all people, then the Lord your God will bless everything that you put your hand to. That's cool. We don't have to take the decorations down. We don't have to box up the tree, and we don't have to turn off the Christmas lights. December the 26th or December the 29th today is no different than December 1st through the 25th. The desire to impact lives for Jesus should never stop. It's an everyday thing. Now, let's be honest, just really quickly. Let's and then just kind of bring this back to a point. This is tough. It's hard, and this is why. Life is tough sometimes. Life throws us curveballs sometimes. Sometimes there's issues in life that hit us hard, and we experience things like pain or frustration or loss or anger. And those things that you know, and justifiably so, you know, they kind of get our mind kind of off focus. And you know what? We're all human. Mine gets that way too. But it can't get so off focus that we lose sight of this whole point, this whole purpose. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he didn't say during Christmas. That's a life verse. That's a life verse. We keep going. We don't give up. And we make the most of our opportunities to do good to all people. And it will take sacrifice. It will take you serving like you've never served before. It will take you giving like you've never gave before. Forgiving. This is a big one. Forgiving like you've never forgiven before. You know something? I got to just say, we talk about end of the year stuff and closing things out and starting a new year off, what you know, fresh and all this stuff. And that's really cool. I mean, it really is, so I'm not necessarily speaking. But if you're going to do anything this year, and this is big, if there's somebody that you're holding something against and you just haven't forgiven them for something, end the year by giving forgiveness. Don't start something new still holding on to something old. I mean, really. If you're going to embrace something new, then you don't put new wine in old wineskins, the Bible says. Some of you may need to forgive somebody today or in the next couple days. It'd be tough. How about loving like you've never loved before? Grabbing a hold of the greatest commandments. And that love begins, maybe some of you, maybe that you need to love God like you've never loved him before. Boy, to do that's going to take some sacrifice. It will. It will take giving more of yourself to him, which means letting go of the control of those areas in your life. Sacrifice, you bet. Worth it? Absolutely. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. God, you're great, you're awesome and amazing. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your challenge. I'm glad this story didn't end in that manger. God, I'm glad it continues from there. I'm glad it didn't end in that tomb. I'm glad that it continues from there. And God, I pray for us as individuals, God, and also as a church, God, that we would begin to even more today embrace this whole message. And the purpose of sharing it. Because it's truly more blessed to give than to receive. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you're here and you have never made Jesus Christ your Savior and your best friend, if you have never trusted in him with your life, both here and eternally, what a great decision to make today. If you've been struggling with this and struggling with that, and today is the day that you could begin this journey with him. And if that's you today and you know that's you, heart's kind of pounding, kind of going through all that stuff, would you just wave at me really quick and just say, yeah, that's me, Pastor Ron. I see that. Anybody else? Just you know that's, you just, not quite right there. I just want to take a moment and pray, just if that was you. God, today you saw that hand, and I believe this, God, that there could be possibly another heart that is raising to you right now. And God, I pray that you would speak to this person or these people in this moment. That more than ever before, this would be clear. Your forgiveness, your love, your grace, your mercy. God, I pray that they would honestly and humbly accept that. And then begin this journey one step at a time, one day at a time. But God, that it is a beginning. It is a beginning to the things to come. The life of sharing, the life of allowing you to work through us to be a blessing. If you made a commitment like that today, or you desire to, then you just be real with God in your way. You may need to ask him to help you with some areas. You're going to need to ask him to forgive you in some areas and for some mistakes and for some sins and some things of that nature. Just be real. Ask him to be your friend, your Savior, your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords. And then tell somebody today that that's a decision that you made. For all of us here today, every single one of us, today is not an ending to a season. It is not an ending to a year. Now, the calendar may say it is, but today could be the greatest beginning of a life led and lived to impact people for Jesus, but it will require a sacrifice. So this morning, for the next few minutes, I want us to do what we've mentioned two or three times today. I want you to sit, and I want you to rest in the presence of God. And I want you to shut the doors to anything outside, any situation, circumstance, or whatever. And I want you to focus on one thing and one thing alone. God, what do you have for me today? God, thank you for this day. Speak loud. Speak clear. May we listen, hear, and act. And Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you do, all that you are. Lead us from this day, God. God, may today be a beginning, a new beginning in many of our lives. And Father, we love you and we praise you for all things. In Jesus' name.